listening to a sermon from Cordova Community Baptist Church in Cordova, Alaska. To learn more about our church family, visit our website at cordovabaptist.church.
Well, throughout this month, we have been examining and exploring what it means to be stewards together. Stewards of the resources that God has given us. We've talked about being faithful stewards of the most scarce resource that we're entrusted with, our time, as we began this month. We have talked about what it means to be stewards of the earth and caretakers of God's creation. Last week, during that 75th anniversary, we celebrated our stewardship together of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the legacy that we've received by faithful Christians who have gone before us. Today, we look at our final perspective of stewardship during this series, being stewards of our finances, of our money and our resources together. We've intentionally saved this one for last because it's too easy for us to hear the word stewardship and instantly go, here we go, we're talking about money. But it's a recognition that while that's one aspect of our job and our role as God's stewards in this world, it is part of this broader understanding of our place in God's created world and kingdom. It's yet another aspect of what it means to trust God and to follow His call as caretakers of what He has given us and blessed us with. We've gone through all of those and now into this to show and to teach and to hopefully instill in our hearts that stewardship is not just about being good at balancing our checkbooks, which, come to think of it, is kind of a dated reference, so sorry about that. Stewardship is an attitude and a perspective on our lives that informs every area of our lives and our faith, including our personal, our family, and our combined church finances. And because I'm Baptist and I have to do it every once in a while, I've got 3 points for y'all this week, and you better believe they all start with the same letter. I was inspired by John last week, had to make it happen. Number one, our money is a test. Just like we have found every week so far, the first bit of wisdom in our stewardship is the reminder and the recognition that what we have is not ours in ownership. Our money isn't ours. It belongs to God, and we have been entrusted with it. We are caretakers. That's the definition of a steward. Caretakers of His resources. And I know what some of us default to thinking when we hear that. We say, I worked hard for my money. Absolutely, you did. And that is something that you should hold on to. But it's also important to remember that not only is the ability to work hard a gift that's given to us by God, but that He is also the recipient of that labor, where we work in our job, in our world, wherever it might be. We can look to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, to see what God says about our labor. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, remember it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now that is not some spiritual abstract ideal. Paul is writing and talking to slaves who are working for, at times, unjust and unkind masters. And he is saying, remember, your work is not just for your earthly bosses. It's not just for the paycheck that you get. He says, it is an offering to Christ. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Do it to give as an offering to the Lord. That we would do it with integrity, with honesty, and with our full effort. We can and should take pride in our work and in the work of our hands, in a job well done. But our pride is in showing God what we have done with the energies and opportunities that are afforded to us, recognizing that it is God who takes those efforts and that energy and makes results and flourishing from it. When Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's scolding them a bit because they've begun to divide in their preference over if they like Paul or if they prefer another evangelist who is named Apollos who had come through Corinth after him, He uses a really interesting metaphor to put the work of ministry and the efforts of his life and Apollos's in proper perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells the church, "I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor." Now, Paul is recognizing and talking about his work, and he's saying, what I have done among you is not in competition with Apollos, but it's about both of them working and trusting God to make their work fruitful. Their work was ministry at the time and being able to share, and where there was that tendency to take pride and ownership and say, I'm the one who came to you. I'm the one who stayed up late praying with you. I'm the one who preached to you. I'm the one who told you about Jesus. This is about me, and I want to receive the recognition and the due reward for it. He said, I trust God will handle my reward. He will handle all the recompense that I need. I trust that no matter how hard I've worked, if God's not making it grow, doesn't matter how many seeds I've planted. If God is not at work in it, Psalm, I think, 127 that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. If God's not doing it, it doesn't matter how hard we work. It's God who makes things come together. God can do all things, and he chooses us and calls us and equips us so that we might learn to work hand in hand with him. And we are promised that our work, whether it be ministry work or our full-time 9-to-5er or whatever it might be, will be rewarded by God who blesses our efforts and sees our hearts in the midst of it. Because we know at the end of the day, our reward, our paycheck, the money that we receive is not paid out solely by how hard we have worked in our world. It does not work on that simple level of fairness among us. If it did, and if that were the case, I can promise you that the highest paid state employee in 40 out of 50 states would not be a football or a basketball coach. If it was about being paid fairly for the amount of work that was put in, then I think we would all agree that teachers, janitors, nurses, and roofers would all be millionaires, right? For the amount of work that is invested into those things. We understand that our world is not always fair. And when it comes to how much sweat we have given and how much labor we have given and then how much we receive. But in the midst of that unfairness, which isn't just a new phenomenon that's been going on as long as humans invented money, that somebody might benefit from our work more than we have, that it's not always fair and equitable, that we trust God to provide in the midst of every time. Our work is dedicated to God. Our wages and our reward are given by God. And it becomes a test for us and where we place our trust and faith in the midst of that journey in our lives. Do we place our trust in the work of our own hands or in the hands of God? Do we think that the answer to security and safety in this world is, I need to work harder and I need to make more money, and then once I have more resources amassed to me and hidden away and hoarded behind, then I'll truly be in control of my fate. The test of our stewardship is our commitment to contentment. Do we trust the God who promised to meet our needs no matter what? Do we trust that when we work faithfully, God will make sure that we have enough for the day ahead? A few weeks ago, we were reading in 1 Timothy. I wonder if you remember these words from chapter 6. As Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice that's the love of it, not the money itself, but our preoccupation and obsession with it. Our idolization of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul understood what Jesus did when he said, we cannot serve both God and mammon, being the God of wealth at that time and looking at it. He said that we cannot focus just on I need more and I'm going to work and I need to amass and then also to trust the God who provides. Our hearts split. That's a fork in the road that we have to choose and say, I choose to trust God. I choose that he will provide what I need and that although I need money, I trust that he will make it happen in the midst of my work, that he will give me a fair wage, that he will make sure that my needs are met, whatever the situation might be. Our relationship with money is a test of where our faith truly is. And once we have ourselves in right relation to our finances, recognizing we have worked for God and it comes from God, we can see number two of those 3 points, that just as money is a test, money is also a tool. Our resources are given to us and entrusted to us by God for a purpose, like any tool meant to be used for a specific task. And so that begs the question, well, for what purpose? And I think in short, we can say this most simply, that it is a tool meant to be used for God's glory. We glorify God with our finances when we use them wisely and according to his purpose and priorities. And God's purposes for our finances, our money, and the gifts that he has given us, as caretakers, we use God's gifts to take care of what is in God's heart. We take care of our responsibilities. We take care of our commitments. We take care of our families and of our church, and we take care of our community at large. As we fulfill our commitments, as we pay our bills and honor our debts, we also look for how we can care for those God has entrusted to us and placed in our awareness. We use God's resources to meet the needs of our families and our homes, to keep the heat on and the lights on, Lord willing. But we cannot let our commitment in there to say, well, as long as those for whom I have a legal responsibility are covered, then I'm fine and I've done my part. I agree. God has called us to look beyond ourselves and our own minimum commitments and to see the face of God in every person that we serve and care for, every person who is before us and has need. Proverbs 19:17 says it most plainly, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. When we use God's gifts to take care of those beyond our immediate relations, we show a trust in a God who always provides, and we take our place in his kingdom of those who provide in his name. When we work and we let that generosity pour forth, that we work from a mindset of abundance, saying, I know God can pour out more, so when I see a need, I'm going to try to meet that need because I know if that puts me in a place of need, God's going to meet that too. That we're not looking at a finite resource of God's blessing. We know that it multiplies. It doesn't divide and subtract. We trust in a God who always provides, who multiplies the blessings of those who are generous. In the Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6, Jesus gives this very evocative, very cool promise of abundance and blessing in proportion to our generosity. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he's talking about how we treat those, not just who we love and we care about, but even our enemies. And he says this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We need to say something real quick on the heels of that. This is not that prosperity gospel teaching that says you need to give the church $5 so we can give you $10 back. The church is not a Ponzi scheme. It's not this promise of you can get rich quick if you just sow the seed right now. This is not what Jesus is talking about, as he's talking to farmers and folks who live within these communities saying, well, if you really want to see your silos fill and overflow, you just need to give me more. Talking about this in some kind of selfish way. It is a recognition that when we live and use our blessings to bless others with a free and generous spirit, that God says he will respond to us with generosity. When we bless others, we will be blessed. When we live with that kind of trust, he says, your trust in me will not go unfulfilled. You will not be put to shame when we trust in God. When we trust in the abundance of God's grace, including in tangible ways, he says, I will provide. And he says that when we do so, we grow in contentment, knowing that sometimes there will be seasons of plenty where the blessings pour out from us. And sometimes there will be seasons of scarcity where the blessings flow in from others. But he says, in all ways, you're going to learn to give and to receive and to give glory to God in the meantime. You realize that we can live according to a different understanding. That our money isn't just the measure of our worth in this world. It's not something that we have to hide from others for fear of what if there's not enough. But it's an opportunity to take a step forward in faith and to trust the promise of God. That he will provide what is needed for us and for us to bless others always. That's his promise. That's that shaken down, pouring over, running off the sides measure. He says that when we bless others, that same blessing comes to us. In the same way, that's why our tithing matters and our faithfulness in giving. It's a discipline of trusting God. It's a commitment to recognize that what we have from God is from God, and that we return the first fruits and trust that we always recognize that God sees our need and doesn't leave us without hope. Now, I'm not going to lie or pretend anything else here. That first time you tithe or you give, ask anybody, that's hard. It's a hard check to write. It was for me. But if you ask somebody in your life who gives faithfully, ask somebody who tithes, I promise you the answer is the same. It's universal that God makes a way. I've seen it in our life together, for Mandy and mine, where fear once used to dictate finances. Instead, it became a measure of faith to say, I don't want to give at the end of the month based on what's left, but rather from the beginning and say, we're going to trust that God's going to make it work. That God's going to be faithful, and so we give in devotion and in discipline to that. And we have seen that our trust in God doesn't go unfulfilled, that he makes a way. Sometimes it's tight, sometimes it isn't, but we say, you know what? We continue to have a place to stay, food on the table, heat going on. We continue to find that God's blessings are there for us in that. My encouragement to you is to give what God calls you to give. My job isn't to look at your finances and tell you, here's the dollar and cent amount that you need to give. It's about asking yourself in the spirit and say, God, where have you called me to live in generosity? Where have you called me to be responsible to my commitments? Where have you called me to trust you? And whatever that answer is from the spirit and is leading in you to say, yes, God, I want to be there. I want to take that step with you. It's not about me. It's not even just about our church budget. It's about realizing the reality of faith in our lives. That we can trust God no matter what. Our money is the tool that God uses in our lives, one of the tools for his glory and for our faith to grow. Because, for my third and final point today, if it's a test for us, and money can be a tool, our money is also a testimony. Our willingness to trust God in our finances is one of the brightest lights that we can shine in this world. Because in a world that idolizes and lifts up money and finances as the most important thing for the success of a nation, for a state, for a company, for a family, for a person, whatever it is that equals money to blessing, in a world of fear and greed, where everyone's trying to find the right angles to make sure they get what's theirs and then a little bit more, choosing to live with a spirit of abundance instead of a spirit of scarcity, and anxiety is a bold witness to the world. Choosing to give without regard for repayment. Choosing to bless others instead of ourselves. Choosing to trust in God's wisdom over and against the wisdom of this world. Where the darkness is in our world, God's light shines all the brighter, right? Where we see hurt and pain in our world, we have the opportunity to show a different way. And when we don't just say we live for God, but we show it, we can see that that light shines bright in the world around us. Proverbs 22 tells us that a good name is more desirable than great riches, and it is to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Our good name, our witness, our testimony in society and among each other is what we strive for. That the world might be able to see us and be astounded at the image of Christ alive in us. And that our faith might look more and more like his. So together, my prayer for us is that we may all encourage and exhort each other to generous stewardship in every aspect of our lives. That we might grow in a spirit of faith in God's abundance. That we might be diligent stewards of our time, diligent and careful caretakers of creation that he has blessed us with. That we might be those who steward the gospel in a way that brings him glory, and in the personal parts of our lives, like our finances and our work, that all things might be given to God for his glory. Just like we're called to in Colossians, that we would work as unto the Lord. That we would work for mutual support and care for each other, for our church, for the needs of our community and those that we see who are struggling. God provides in miraculous ways. And often, we are the source and the vessels of God's miracles to each other, God's blessings to each other, and God's grace to one another. If we will let ourselves be, and we can live our lives and our finances and our stewardship in every area for the glory of God, when we trust him in that way. Will you pray with me today? Father, we give you thanks that you meet every need. We give you thanks that even when we have fallen from you, even when we are in the midst of rebellion and hurt and fear and despair, when we let anxiety and stress run our lives, we know that you can be trusted. We know that when we were in rebellion against you, you sent your son not only to live and show us how to be in relationship with you, but to die on a cross to pay for our sins so that we might have your strength where ours has failed. That we might come before you in faith and trust. God, in every aspect of our lives, help us to be faithful stewards. Help us not to let a pride and an ego and an ambition drive us in how we treat other people and how we treat time and creation and the money that we make and the people that we work with. Help us not to have that mindset that tries to place ourselves at the top of every hill that we climb, but rather that we would seek to look for you and trust you. That we would look for the ways that we can bless others and help them to climb those hills as well. That we would work together as a church in our community, in our state, in our country, in the world, God, that we would be that city on a hill that shows a different way of living and trusting you. That lives it out, God, not just with the words from our mouths, but with our hands, our lives, with every part of us, that we would trust you and live for your glory. It's not easy to do, God, but you haven't called us to do easy things. You have called us to do holy things by your power and by your strength. Renew in us that spirit of faith and trust. Faith in your Son Jesus, faith in your Spirit at work within us, faith in your provision as our loving and caring Father, that we might bring you glory in how we treat each other, how we treat those outside these walls. that we might be the hands of Jesus, bringing blessing and hope and life in your name and for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of your Spirit, and for your kingdom and name's sake, now and forever. Amen.